People who suffer from diabetes can also suffer enormous financial strain. Many are simply denied coverage, and even for those who have insurance, medical bills can be unaffordable. NPR's Patricia Naiman reports on a 14-month study of barriers to health insurance faced by Americans with diabetes.
Karen Politz is a health policy researcher from Georgetown University. She and colleagues from Georgetown and the American Diabetes Association examined the stories told by 851 people who contacted the association's insurance hotline. Politz says in most cases, financial problems resulted from some sort of life change.
Most often they had been laid off, but sometimes they moved. Sometimes they got divorced. Sometimes they left college and no longer could be claimed as a dependent under their parents' policy. Sometimes just a job change. Sometimes their employer made a change and changed or dropped the health benefits that had been offered previously.
For some, companies simply refused to sell them coverage when they found out they had diabetes, and others were paying for policies that paid so little for medical care they wondered if it was worth it at all. Others were duped into buying fake policies. Janice Ramsey experienced two of these problems. Ramsey is 60 years old. She and her husband sold their development business. He retired and went on Medicare. She bought her own individual policy.
And as an individual, they kind of put a microscope on you. They watch everything you do. And evidently, when I claimed for my diabetes, because you have to be tested, you know, every so many months and have blood work done and et cetera. You have to see the doctor all the time. They refused the claim. And then they asked for my medical records, and they said that the medical records showed that it was leading up to diabetes and that I never revealed that, and they were canceling me.
Ramsey searched for a new policy. But as soon as companies learned she had diabetes, she says no one wanted to talk to her. Finally, she found a company willing to sell her a policy. For 2.5 years, she paid $300 a month. But when she needed a heart catheterization, the company said it was bankrupt. Karen Politz.
Criminals in the healthcare system who sell fake health insurance actually prey on people with diabetes and others who are disadvantaged because they know they'll be so desperate to buy coverage that they're more likely to fork over money.
Typically, Politz says, the fake insurance company pays small claims early on so people think it's real. Then when a big bill comes in, they fold up shop and run. And even though law enforcement might catch them and prosecute, it doesn't help victims like Janice Ramsey, who was left with $22,000 in unpaid medical bills and $9,000 down the drain to the fake insurer. Today, Ramsey is uninsured.
I am scared to death because if I go in with a heart attack or have to have heart surgery or anything major, it will probably wipe us out financially.
And even for people who have health insurance, debt can be overwhelming. Researchers estimate the monthly cost for routine medical care for patients successfully managing their diabetes is $350 a month. For patients suffering complications like high blood pressure, costs can be as high as $800 a month. Again, Karen Politz.
We talked to one woman whose husband's employer had cut back to only covering generic drugs with no exceptions. There's no generic insulin in the United States. So when the employer made that cost-cutting move, he ended up completely eliminating coverage for the drug that was most important to her.
Karen Ignani is president of America's Health Insurance Plans. She argues the insurance industry has a solid track record caring for patients with chronic disease like diabetes. Problems arise, says Ignani, when people lose coverage.
So now how do we take the strategies that have been worked and very successfully in the employed population and transfer them to individuals with these special needs? And that's the challenge, and we think that we can work very closely with advocacy organizations to do that.
To do that, Ignani suggests some sort of tax subsidy to help people bridge the gap until they get coverage, either through Medicare, Medicaid, or a special high-risk pool offered by the government. Patricia Naiman, NPR News.